is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
And hello, welcome to Screen View, episode 30. I am Peter Van, this is John Denny, and Amy Morgan.
Hello. Hello.
July 17th, 2012, in case you don't know the date. But we can start off with
Box Office Report.
Ice Age Continental Drift being number one at the box office this weekend with $46 million. Apparently, it did not open as well as the other like six movies beforehand, but you know, whatever.
What do you mean, the other Ice Age movies?
Yeah, there's like four or five of them.
I think four other ones.
You know what's funny? I heard Dennis Leary's soundbite, and whoever introduced this was like, oh, apparently he's like, he really likes these movies, and he can't wait to do more of them. And his clip, what he was saying, he was like, yeah, I can't wait to do Ice Age Civil War, and then Ice Age Man on the Moon.
Yeah.
And like, I'm listening to that, and I'm like, that sounds like he doesn't want to do these movies anymore. It sounds like, wow, this is getting stupid.
I think he's being sarcastic, like, because in the I think it was the same clip that I heard, like, before that, he says, he's like, it's great being a saber-toothed tiger. It's fantastic.
Right.
Or whatever that, whatever he is.
Okay.
Hey, should it matter? You're getting paid.
Yeah, I think that was essentially, like, his thing.
Obviously,
like,
if you don't want to do a movie, he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I think he got to the point where he was, like, just being sarcastic. He's like, I could do this forever, like, Civil War, the War of 1812, like...
Right, yeah.
It doesn't have to make sense. I'm a saber-toothed tiger, and I'm awesome. Yay!
Yeah, because they're going to the Continental Drift, right? So Pangaea or whatever is no longer exists.
Pangaea
no longer exists. It's like, you know, becoming what we are now. So,
yep.
Pangaea.
And the next, I can't wait for the one where they do the final show. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What do you say, Joe?
That's right. Pangaea didn't actually exist when it was Ice Age anyway.
Right. It was. Before the
from the science point of view. Yeah, it was way before the Ice Age.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, who says, I mean, saber-toothed tigers didn't talk, so.
True.
You could bend and the idea.
How do you know? Have you ever seen one?
Eventually.
It's true. I've never seen
Eventually, they're going to do, like, their final show, and it'll be like when dinosaurs died, and it'll be like, you know, everybody died.
It actually turns out it's a prequel to Land Before Time.
Oh, my God. Time number 15.
Yeah, exactly.
You know there's like any of those movies?
Yeah. I've never actually seen them. I think I've seen only three.
I've only seen one.
Like literally Land Before Time 3. Not 1, 2, and 3, just 3.
Oh.
The first one was really good. Everyone after that was, let's say, it's one of those TV shows where I talk about, you know, I don't want to see it ever. You know, maybe once, and then that's all I can tolerate.
Right.
Yeah, that's all I can tolerate. I can watch Rescue Bots over and over and over again, but when it comes to Land Before Time, number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to wherever number they finally quit at, yes, I can only see them once, and that's it. I've seen enough.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, so number two is Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man in his second week with $34 million. It apparently did pretty well with only a 44% drop from the week before. And so far, it has amassed $200.5 million domestically, $320.5 million foreign. Baby's gonna crunch something. And worldwide total is $521 million. Uh-oh. What have you eaten, buddy?
Yeah, Dennis Leary in top two movies.
I know, crazy. Right?
That's kind of cool.
That's crazy. $521 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that is a lot of cash.
It's a lot for the movie only being out 2 weeks in the States. How long has it been out worldwide?
About the same. It's only I think it was like Well, I mean, it's worldwide, right? So it's like China, Japan.
I mean, like. Isn't that like breaking records that the Avengers didn't break?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't think so. I don't think it hasn't amassed as much money.
14 days, $500 million.
I think Avengers, I mean, if we look at the, I think Avengers made $500,000 pretty early in the game as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, $500,000 with a B.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, $500,000. Yeah, $500,000 would be like a weekend for Spider-Man, which was like a day or 2 days for Spider-Man. Yeah. So. Okay, so Ted is number three. Brave is number four. Brave apparently will hit 200 million soon, which is like a record, I guess. I mean, all essentially a large majority of the Disney Pixar films have hit $200 million. Okay, and let's see. Savages number five, Magic Mike number six, which is crazy. Magic Mike, if you didn't know, cost only $7 million to make.
And it what's his name wrote it, so he probably didn't command too much as a writer. Channing Tatum.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, he produces his own movies too, apparently. So,
yeah.
Regardless, it costs...
so.
Oh, sorry, what?
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's, if you think about it, there's not a whole lot of special effects.
It's true. It's all stripping. It's all stunts, I guess.
Right. It's just dancing. I mean, and then so the majority of the money for the film goes to the actors and actresses.
Yeah.
So, if you can convince someone like Matthew McConaughey to do it for almost nothing, then it's not surprising that the budget's so low.
Yeah, that's true.
It's surprising that it made $91 million.
Yeah, that's true. That's Amy, did you go see this with a bunch of your girlfriends, Magic Mike?
No, I didn't. My husband has been teasing me about it, though, that like the guys down at the... guys down at the jiu-jitsu... studio that my husband practices at have been calling him Magic Mike, and so he said, I don't know if it's because of this movie or if it's something else. And I'm like, oh gosh. I was like, well, what's the movie about? He's like, oh, it's about a stripper. And I was like, oh, hell no. But yeah, so we've been kind of joking around the house, and I'm already married to Magic Mike, so
nice. Yeah, so you don't have to go see it. Very good.
So no, I haven't seen it. And over the weekend, I mentioned that we hadn't got a chance to see another movie that I wanted to go see. That I was like, oh, I got to kick him in the pants for that. But then he said, oh, there's Magic Mike. I was like, oh, you really want to go see that? And he's like, no, not really. So yeah.
Number seven is Tyler Perry's Madea number 17, aka Witness Protection, and Katy Perry Part of Me is number eight. That's great. I am so glad that Katy Perry made it to the top 10. Moonrise Kingdom, number 9, and Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, rounds out the top 10.
Cool.
So, yeah. If you guys, I don't know if you've been living under a rock, or maybe you forgot the
And
date,
now, we but, talk about movies.
The Dark Knight is opening this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Know. What?
Yeah, I know.
Surprise. Here in the States, or?
Yeah.
Worldwide.
This Friday. Oh. This Friday nice. At midnight. Opening up at everywhere. At 4,375 plus theaters.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of theaters.
Well, I guess that takes into account, well, I guess theaters would not necessarily mean screens, right?
Yeah, they usually mean, like, I think it might be, like, screens or theaters. I think it's...
Does that separate out the IMAX from the...
Regular? I think it might be, like, screens, I think.
Okay, so it would separate the IMAX from the regular.
Yeah, so it would be 3D. So it's, like, 3D, IMAX, IMAX 3D, and 2D. So it's, like, four. It's, like, four separate.
That's not 3D, is it?
It was shot in... you can convert it into... I don't think they offer it in 3D, though.
I don't think
though.
They're offering it in 3D
they
at all.
They definitely are offering it in IMAX, though, because I am seeing it.
Mm-hmm. He shot it in IMAX.
Yeah. I think it's a lot more than The Dark Knight was, right? I think he shot more.
Yeah, for the Dark Knight, it was like four or five scenes, I think, were in IMAX. And for this, I think the majority of it, if not all of it, was shot in IMAX.
Yeah. But pre-release for the film, it's apparently supposed to eclipse the 2008 opening of The Dark Knight, which made $158.4 million. Apparently, it is tracking to make a crap ton of money. So it's a crap. So that is there is no specific number, but it will probably make more than The Dark Knight is the plan. Is the tracking at this point? It will probably open under The Avengers because it's not as wide spanning. It's a bit more dark. It's not as funny.
It's not or as funny at all.
Or funny at all? Yeah, probably not funny at all. The span is a little less, but it has gotten a lot of lead in. A lot of people know about it and things like that. But the movie is going to be 2 hours and 44 minutes long.
Oh my gosh!
That's gonna be.
This comes out on a really bad weekend for me. I'm not gonna be able to go see it this weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, you got the whole summer. It's not gonna disappear from the top 10 for sure for a long time.
True. It should be out for a while. So yeah.
I'll be seeing it this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it.
Jeez, rub it in. That's all right. I'm going to Brazil. I can see it in Portuguese. Woohoo!
Good luck with that.
I bet you won't.
Yeah, she'll see it. No. Whether or not she understands it is really funny.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I was like, I don't know what the hell was going on right at this point, but oh my gosh, right?
Oh my god, when that bat
it looked cool.
Bat plane like flies around, that was awesome.
Yeah, I had no idea what they were saying, but
okay, so Mockingjay parts one and two have been dated. So after Catching Fire comes out next November, so November 22nd, 2013, part one will be out, let's see here, March 21st, 2014. And then a year later, part two, Mockingjay part two, will be out the November 20th, 2015.
Which is a whole year?
I know.
Wow.
It's worse than Twilight. Wait, wasn't Twilight supposed to come out, like, this year?
Yeah, it is coming out this year, this fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how they're going to do this. The book is not long enough to justify splitting it in half.
Yeah, and not a lot of stuff happened in Mockingjay.
Yeah, so if they cut it at a logical... Like, if they cut it... I'm assuming... You have not read the books, right?
I have not read the books either, yeah.
Okay, so if they cut it...
I need to catch up on that, yeah, go ahead.
Then the rest of the movie will be kind of boring.
Yeah.
Unless they're pulling stuff from the last book into the second part.
No, there's not enough. Like what John is saying, there's not enough material in the third book to make a two-part movie.
Oh.
There's
okay.
No like
from the final two books, there's not enough material to have three movies.
Yeah, I would say the last book, the dialogue. Like, external dialogue was not a lot. I mean, it was mostly internal. It was mostly her, like, brooding.
And, which they didn't convey very well in the first movie.
So they would have to they would have to redo everything, essentially. They would have to externalize everything, which I'm not sure how they would do, but they could make it into two movies. I mean, it was the same length as the other two books, so... I don't really know how they're going to be able to stretch that movie.
Well, did they take stuff out of the first movie that maybe they're pushing into the second then?
Yeah, they actually took stuff from the second book and put it in the first movie.
Yeah. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Well, I mean, I guess they could explain some things, like what the Reaping actually is, which they actually never...
Why would they wait to the third or the fourth?
No, I'm saying the second movie, they'll explain what the Reaping is, so then they can drag some stuff out from the second book into the third movies and the fourth movies. I don't know. Lionsgate's trying to milk some
I think
cash.
They're going to hit a wall once they actually start. I mean, they might set dates, but doesn't mean they start writing it yet.
No,
I think they might hit a wall. I think they're going to hit a wall when they start to write these movies and be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they've barely written Catching Fire, so...
Yeah.
I mean, they're still... Which leads us into our segue, is that Philip Seymour Hoffman has been signed as Plutarch Heavensbury. who will replace the guy from the first movie as the games guy person. Games director? Is that the guy?
I don't think that was his official title, but
yeah.
But he's the guy who conducts all the games and stuff.
Right.
But yeah. He officially signed. I think like 3 or 4 episodes back, we talked about that they extended him an offer.
Right. Yeah.
I really need to read these so that I can, you know, participate with the there's not enough material.
There's such easy reads. You can just, like,
they are very easy to read.
You know what? On your plane ride to Brazil, read number 1. And then while, you know, hiking in the jungle, read number 2. and then you're on your flight back, read number 3.
I'll have to try that. Yeah. See what I get.
While you're
I'm not going to go hiking through the jungle. Are you kidding?
Just going to chill on the beach?
I have no idea what we plan on doing. I think we're just going down there and not even have a plan in the world. We're just going to go do whatever.
Oh, God. That sounds horrendous. That sounds
we'll figure it out.
But okay. So Marvel, John, you need to help me out here. Marvel has set dates for Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America, Winter Soldier, which sounds crazy.
That is kind of weird. Captain America, Winter Soldier, what?
Oh, it is actually Winter Soldier is actually a
it's a character from the recent Captain America
code
books.
Code name of a character, of a returning character. If you have never read it, it is, I guess can we spoil it? It's like 2 or 3 years old, right? Can we talk about it?
Well, yeah, we can spoil the comic book. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's what we're going to do with the movie.
Right, right. So the Winter Soldier is Bucky coming back from the dead. And he's got this crazy metal arm, and he's brainwashed, and he becomes like a master assassin for
communists.
Yeah, for Hitler.
Because, you know, not Hitler. It was Red Skull. I thought it was the other guy. I don't know. You read Captain America, not me.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I forget his name.
He was a Russian guy, right?
Oh, for like Lucan, who eventually becomes one with the Red Skull anyway.
Oh.
But yeah, so that's where the name comes from. Whether or not they're going to bring Bucky back for this movie is unknown. I mean, he did fall off a plane in the first one.
Yeah.
Never really seen him go away.
They fell off a train.
Was it a train? Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But it was freezing water. So
off a cliff.
Yeah. So, and then Thor 2, which is called The Dark World.
The Dark World. Sounds cool.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. And those will be, so Captain America's April 4th, 2014. It's a long time. And Thor 2 will be November 8th, 2013. And also, Edgar Wright will be directing Ant-Man.
Yeah, I heard that, and I thought, oh, wow, they're going to bring Ant-Man. This is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of disagree with the whole Ant-Man thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he's going to be, like, a main character. But
I mean, I get that
maybe
he's
in the cartoon he was great, but that was a cartoon.
He wasn't, like, a main character. He wasn't a movie.
It worked. Look, in the original Avengers comics, he was one of the original Avengers, and he helped to found the Avengers, and it all sort of like tied together and made sense the way that they brought them all together. But in the sense of the movie world, I mean, is there enough of a material to have number one have his own movie? Which I couldn't name an Ant-Man villain if you put a gun to my head.
Right.
That's right. And number two, to add him to the Avengers, it's like you already got two super scientist geniuses, which is what Ant-Man is, and he's also got like a suit of armor that he wears.
That he can.
So it's basically having another Iron Man on the team, which I mean doesn't hurt if you're setting up a super team of fighting people.
Yeah, but then again, you've got the Hulk as well, who is also a super scientist. So you've got three super scientists. And
do you think they have enough brains?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You would think that it's a little bit overcrowding of the brain. You know,
The brain trust is really going to be really brain action or something.
Yeah, so
I'm using brain way too much.
I'm not sure how that's going to work out.
Well, according to what you put in here, this is they did a test shot that to show to a crowd, and they loved Ant-Man. So
yeah, I mean, but then again, there's like, I mean, there are many, you know, there are short films, you know, like there was a short film several years back where it was Batman fighting Alien versus Alien and Predator.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool.
Oh, nice.
The 5 minutes that that clip was for. But if it was longer, it would have been like, man, this movie is stupid.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see if they really do Ant-Man, if it's going to work.
But Edgar Wright...
I would be interested in Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
Yeah, can you explain Guardians of the Galaxy? Because that's a relatively new book, so I don't know too much about it.
There was Guardians of the Galaxy back in, like, the 70s or 80s.
Okay.
And it was, if my brain remembers properly... The Hulk was a Guardian of the Galaxy. Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Quasar. Nova, maybe, I think. And somebody else, like, you know, space. It was basically Avengers in space.
Okay.
And they would fight the different alien races. It was pretty cool. It would be interesting to see how they did a movie on it. It's a lot to do another Avengers-type movie without having them have their own origin stories separate,
right?
Like the Avengers did. Like, obviously, yeah. Iron Man was done in his, and Captain America, and Thor. But to do a bunch of different characters being brought together at one time, it can get cumbersome. And I think that, I like the original X-Men movie, but there was not a whole lot there. Because they were so busy introducing everyone and explaining who everyone was and things like that. So, if it's done well, I think it could be really interesting. I don't know if there's going to be a huge draw for it because a lot of the characters are going to be pretty unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember looking on, like, the site and it was like... It was just, you know, one-named characters that aren't iconic in any way, so...
Oh, Drax the Destroyer, I think, was one of them.
One of them was, like, Bat or something like that. It was just, like, it wasn't, like, an iconic type of...
I mean, there's a newer book I haven't read at all. I don't really think I know too many of the characters. But the original lineup is characters that have, you know, been around for a really long time. And, you know, some characters that I like, some characters that I didn't really care for, but... that have been around since the 70s and 80s. So, okay. There's history there if they use those characters.
Okay. So, Kevin Feige, so this is Marvel, and you know, it's coming out on August 1st, 2014. So far away, you know. But Marvel has been doing that a lot lately. They've been like, 2 years later, we're going to come out with this movie. I mean, next year it's going to be... next summer will be Iron Man 3, so that'll be there.
Right, but I think that's like, it's also something where they did Iron Man 1, and then they said, okay, in 2 years we're going to do Iron Man 2, so it was something for people to look forward to. Obviously, Thor 2 and Captain America 2 are something people are going to look forward to also, but to put out, hey, in 2 years from now, we're going to put out a movie with characters you've never heard of.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like people are like, all right, well, I'll wait till, you know, a month before it comes out to see if I want to go see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nice. The show now goes supernatural with a fringe discussion.
Okay, so let's see here. Television, into the television news. Amy, you should be happy about this.
I am.
Fault in Disguise gets third season for 10 episodes.
Yeah, especially since we've only seen like a handful of season two so far, yeah. And it's already got a third. I was like, oh yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Season two is definitely pretty awesome so far. So
yeah, it is.
Why only 10 episodes?
It's a TNT
thing. It's yeah. Like they're doing their own version of. They're doing their own version of, like, you know how The Walking Dead only has so many episodes and Game of Thrones only has so many episodes. I think it's, like, their version, but they're just doing their own, you know, I don't know. I guess they could do more if they wanted, but honestly, it's not bad.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
the reason I ask is because most cable series have like 13 episodes, right?
Yeah.
So they're only doing 10. Maybe because they're just so awesome that they think they can do it in 10 rather than 13. No, I don't know.
It's a TNT thing. TNT likes to do that. Even Southland is only 10 episodes per season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think, as far as I know, I don't think Leverage is 10 episodes. I think it's like 13. But I think like they just like to do that. I don't know why. To like save costs or something like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, it is only a 10 episode season, which is kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll
so.
On season two. Finish up season three. There we go. We're gonna keep going. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I'm happy with that. So.
Yeah, I'm happy too. I think although the only issue with cable series is that you have to wait so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the series to start, you know. So it's kind of a pain in the butt.
Quarters of a year.
But the good thing about it is that we have other things to supplement between now and then, because, you know, Falling Skies is going to probably finish up just before school starts, or, like, right about the same time, and then all the fall lineup starts, and then we're going to get, you know, then we're going to get Walking Dead through this fall, and Game of Thrones during the spring, and I think Doctor Who is supposed to be out too. So eventually, you know, you come around, you know, if you can stay, right. just switch to your next show.
Right. Yeah. And speaking of the fall, it was Comic-Con this weekend, in case you didn't know. And two of the big
San Diego?
Yes.
San Diego Comic-Con was this last weekend, yeah.
Oh my God.
Amy got to go
for a day.
Her first Comic-Con. Which I'm sure was a massive, ridiculous horde of people. Just
it was the dealer room itself was just wow, blew my mind. All the stuff that they had packed into one room.
Yeah, it's just so massive, right? And there's so much. It feels like
there's so
Vegas.
Many people there. Yes, it does. It feels like Vegas. If you've ever gone to Vegas, where you've like you're walking down the strip and there are like tons of people, like shoulder to shoulder, that's exactly what it felt like.
Casinos vying for your attention. It's essentially just like music blaring.
Yeah,
you know, like
that is a very good way to describe San Diego Comic-Con. It's like having Vegas in a room.
Yeah,
and not only Vegas in a room, but people are dressed strangely as well. So it's like it is absolutely it's like having Vegas in a room.
Yeah, the San Diego Comic-Con is the only place where the people in cosplay are more popular than like the female of a leading like geek show or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of ridiculous. It's pretty crazy that, but there's some like good, you know, some really really good costumes. I mean, I've seen.
Yes, there were some excellent ones, and there's some ones that are like going, "Ooh, please do not ever wear that again because you are not worthy."
Right. You're either.
Those are the ones I'd like to see, like Fat Spider-Man.
Oh God, no!
Exactly, absolutely not. That I've seen enough. I there are definitely some major wardrobe malfunctions potentially to going on there. But then for everyone that you saw that was really, really bad, you probably saw, like, you know, maybe two that were two other ones that were probably more acceptable.
Yeah, not where John's referencing. But at Comic-Con.
Yeah, Philadelphia, Wizard World.
Yeah, there's always
Fat Spider-Man was everywhere.
Middle-aged man who's just so, like, gargantuan. He wears the spandex.
Yes, there are some people that should not be wearing spandex.
No. There are a lot of people who should not be wearing spandex.
Most people, I would say.
I think other than the fact that if you're unless you're like an Olympian and you are in like mad shape, you should not be wearing spandex. You should be ashamed of wearing spandex. Like,
if you're a model, then yes, you can totally do it.
Yeah,
if not, don't even go there.
Exactly. Speaking of Comic-Con, Fringe had a Comic-Con trailer for its last. For its last season of its entire life, it was in the big hall, the Hall H, and they premiered a trailer. And I don't know if you guys saw this trailer or not.
I haven't seen it yet. If you give me like 5 minutes, I'll go watch it.
Well,
or however long it is.
Yeah, it's a sizable trailer. It's about three. It's a 3-plus-minute trailer. But what you should know is that essentially episode 19, which is when they went into the mega future, this entire season will be that future.
feel like.
Okay.
Yeah. And they interviewed Anna Torv,
three,
who plays Olivia.
One. Olivia.
And she essentially said that this is going
just
to be like
you from
season four will be essentially a mass.
She's even going to be in it then?
Yeah, she's
yeah,
in
sure.
it. They,
because I was going to say, like,
yeah, she
in
wasn't
the future,
in that episode.
Is she dead?
No. They so essentially what happens is they go back for her and cut her out, or they get her out of the amber like they did the other people.
Oh, okay. Because
so
I guess I was just under the impression that she was dead because, like, the girl that looked like was her daughter.
Yes.
Like, had a bullet around her. Like, so I thought, oh, she's dead. I was like, oh, a future where she's dead. No!
I think that bullet is the one that...
You got goosebumps just talking about it.
That Walter shot her in the head with, right? That he pulled
right,
out.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm guessing it is. Yeah.
So,
yeah, but she lived.
She called it a reboot of the entire series. So essentially, like, what you thought, what you essentially knew in the past four seasons is essentially, like, over. So, like, mm-hmm. I remember, John, you were saying you were kind of like, oh, man, it's so neatly wrapped up, and then they threw this nugget in there. So it seemed like they had sort of, like, that plan the whole time, because season five, their last final season, will be taking place in that future.
Huh.
I don't buy
I guess
that.
It just depends on how they pull it off, whether or not I'll be happy with that or not, to be
yeah.
honest.
Apparently the whole cast, the important cast members, like the main cast members, already know how it will end. And they say that they're happy about it. But, I mean, obviously, they could...
I'm just happy that they don't have to work on it anymore.
Right.
Okay, well, I guess...
I buy that only because they didn't get re-upped until almost the last episode.
Right. Maybe they... Well, you know, usually they have those cliffhangers for the end of the first season, whether or not they get picked up or not. So maybe they just kind of planted that seed in there to give them something to go with.
I guess.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. They start September 28th, which is a Friday,
yep.
obviously. And final season. And run for 13 episodes without... I hopefully, like... baseball won't get in the way, but you know it always does.
It will.
It will.
Well, because
yeah.
Fox always cares World Series.
Yeah. Yep. So it'll get in the way, and we'll get like a season which is truncated like 2.5 seasons of stuff. But okay. The next one for Comic-Con was the Walking Dead season 3 trailer. I don't know if either of you saw this either. Have you
I did. I saw that. I actually watched it last night. It looked pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, October 14th, it comes back, which is Sunday. The tagline for this season is Fight the Dead, Fear the Living. Which,
that's why they call them the Walking Dead.
Crazy. Like, so essentially, you see it's a continuation of this, you know, the season 3, which is what you expected. Beginning of, you know, the end of season 2, which is what you expected, was Andrea and Michonne. Branch off on their own, and they eventually meet up with the governor, who they find out about, you know, the rest of the groups who take over the prison, which is infested with zombies. And they take over, though, they find their own way, and they take over. And then the governor was like, this is mine, and he tried to take it over, and they get into this, like, this huge battle. So season
yeah.
3 will all be about fighting
explosive.
The dead, but at the same time battling it with other, you know, living people, which is kind of like crazy, right? You essentially imagine, just like in Falling Skies, you're like, we're all humans, we're against the aliens, we should not be fighting each other, but it happens.
Yep. Because human
it's
beings
perfect.
Are just that way. We're a miserable lot. If we're not fighting something, we're fighting each other. Ah! Or both.
Right.
Entitlement issues.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Oh, the governor.
Yeah, there's another thing that I was trying to specifically reference. Food,
medicine. I will have to see how they're going to spin that because, to be honest, I mean, come on. Mr. Governor, if it was yours, then you would not have left it to the dead.
Right. Right, absolutely.
And what, do you have a copyright on all things living at this point? You know, everything has to be in your city to be, I'm sorry, I would be totally on your side.
Right. All right, I remember now, the teaser that you should know at the end of this trailer is Burl.
Oh yes, from season one!
Season one, and he's got this, you know, cut his hand off, John is so, so motivated that he actually is coughing it up. He cut off his arm.
At first, it was Burl, and then I was like, oh, that's right.
Cut off his hand, and he comes back with, some crazy, Captain Hook contraption thing.
I didn't see the Captain Hook contraption thing.
Or something like that. He's got some, arm contraption going on. Crazy.
It's only from the TV show. It's not, I don't think that's in the comic at all, but still, it's just fun to see that guy back because he was such a jerk in the beginning.
Yeah.
He's still there. Oh no. How's his brother going to react to this? Does this mean his brother's going to go one direction or another?
That was a big thing that they were talking about during Comic-Con. Right. Interviewed Marcus Reedus, I think his name was Marcus.
Is he going to follow his brother, or is he going to tell his brother, kiss my ass and keep walking and doing what is...
Yeah, they said it, interestingly enough, was that, he was always under Merle's shadow, and he was always getting abused by Merle if he didn't do what he wanted him to do and things like that. And then once Merle disappeared, while originally he was upset, he eventually coped with it, came around with it, and started hanging out. He started to feel accepted by the group, and the group was accepting him, things like that. So it's interesting to see what kind of dynamic that will happen when his big brother comes back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what direction they take it. But this is what is really unique about, this is why I like The Walking Dead, is the fact that they put these characters in such extreme conflict. I mean, that would be a conflict. Do you follow your brother, who's going to probably abuse you if you don't, or do you take a stand and, tell him where to shove it,
Right.
And even that, what will happen when that happens? Does he come after you and start trying to attack you, or it's good conflict, and that's why I'm really thrilled to see it, because I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Oops.
Sorry, my dog John. Opened the door.
Oh, okay. Your dog opened the door.
Yeah.
I was going to say he has to go cough. He's been holding it in. He's got to go cough.
Yeah.
Gonna explode if he doesn't. Oh goodness.
Actually, a little tidbit is that for San Diego Comic-Con, AMC actually built an obstacle course at San Diego. So you actually had groups of human beings running through this obstacle course with people.
Was this a full blown obstacle course that a boot camp obstacle course, or was it something
similar to that? Yeah. Like the person that there's a video, there's several videos on YouTube about it, and this one guy essentially you run through all this this urban setting, and then you're going around, and these people are dressed like zombies, and they try to attack you, and then you have to run, and it's crazy. It's pretty ridiculous. There's some climbing going on. There's some crawling going on. So it's kind of cool. It was pretty cool. That was just a little tidbit. They have fake zombies crawling out from under cars and things like that. So.
Nice. Cool.
So
it's review time.
I guess we can make it to our topic now.
Woohoo!
Make it to our topic. All right.
We can't spoil the end. John hasn't seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Which we're
just that one thing. That's all.
Just that one thing, just which is like thing. The biggest thing in the end.
Which is when Spider-Man becomes a zombie. So
then it was worth it.
Yeah.
So yes, it was absolutely.
It is The Amazing Spider-Man came out a couple weeks ago, but we had a little hiatus. We had
two weeks ago.
Yep. July 3rd. So yeah, it's the 17th today. So yep, it's exactly 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So I guess we can talk about The Amazing Spider-Man. Amy, what did you think of the Spider-Man reboot?
I don't know if it's a Spider-Man reboot. Isn't The Amazing Spider-Man just a different continuity than what the one we have was an actual reboot? Because I was under the impression that there are several different comics and that there's one that's called The Amazing Spider-Man, the one that's regular Spider-Man, and there's other, you know, 2099 Spider-Man. You know, are they all in the same continuity, or are they in different universes? I guess I was under the impression that they are. Maybe I'm, like, not as cool a Spider-Man fan as I thought I was. but reboot, I don't know.
Well, movie-wise, it's
movie-wise.
Yeah, technically, in the movie world, it's a reboot, yeah.
But in terms of, like, the Spider-Man, they actually are just different stories.
Okay.
I think there's actually... John, there hasn't actually been, like, a straight-up Spider-Man book for a while, right? It's always been... I think the one that's running now is Amazing Spider-Man, right?
Right, and
Spectacular, I think, is running.
Well, there used to be one, but there was a Spider-Man, like, a straight-up Spider-Man book for a while, like, in the 90s, I think. And then there was, obviously, Ultimate Spider-Man, which is what the Sam Raimi movies were most directly based off of.
That's a classic, yeah. There's a classic, like, 1960s Spider-Man.
Right, and then now there's whatever the new Ultimate Universe is. I forget what it's called now.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right. But yeah, I mean, in the movie world, it's a reboot.
Yeah. Movie-wise, okay. It's a reboot. It's a wholehearted reboot.
All right. If it movie-wise is a wholehearted actual reboot, I'm half and half with it. There are some things that I think it did better than the first one, and then there are some things that I thought that the first one did better.
Okay. Examples?
So I'm kind of like, that it's better or worse, I'd probably say it's probably about equal. I can't tell you which parts I think they did better, as, you know, like I was right in the middle of the movie thinking, okay, this part... I don't care for it as much. I think the other one had a stronger take. And then, you know, there was another part where I was like, oh, I like this take because it's a little stronger than the last one. I mean, I didn't sit down and, like, write notes and find out, you know,
you
specifically.
Didn't.
I should have. I'm sorry. You know, I've just been too busy to do that. But, yeah, I did have definite moments in there where I thought, okay, I think I liked what they did better in the other movie than this. And then I was like, oh, then there are parts where I was like, oh, I think I like this better than what they did in the movie. So I'm like, I'm kind of half and half with it. Now that I have something to compare it to, I'm like, okay, yeah. The one thing that I did have to agree with, when we got back from watching it, we had a babysitter here. Or was it the day after? One way or the other, we had a babysitter that came over within the same weekend, and I guess they had seen it as well. And he mentioned that it's like the one thing that he thought it was really missing is the snappy comebacks, the witty things that Peter says. They didn't do enough of that, and that was the one thing I'd say, yeah, overall in the movie that I could definitely say. There were parts where he was witty, but it wasn't the smart comebacks that he always had, like, consistently all the way through from the first one. The first one, he did that. The second one, there were moments, but it wasn't consistent all the way through. And then on top of that, I mean, there was a lot of things that happened to him. Obviously, we're doing the whole recap with the uncle dies like he did in the first movie. Spoilers if you haven't seen it.
He has to die.
Yeah, you have to know by now.
Yeah.
There were a few things that did kind of followed a little bit like that. So I was like, okay. But it was a little darker. I don't know. I wouldn't say darker. Just a different take to it. Because, you know, you have the antagonist that rises is somebody that, you know, he kind of knows, sort of. And, you know, it's just how it worked. It just seemed a lot very similar to what he did in the first one, just with different people and different roles and stuff like that. So I did kind of miss the whole... I liked how they did in the first movie where they did great powers comes great responsibility. There were several parts where I almost went, just say it, because you know you want to. They didn't, so I was like, you know, I get why they didn't, but I thought, you know, it just makes sense to me that they would use that phrase again, but they didn't, and it was just so right there. The other thing that I found, like, when I went in there, I Aunt May, I love her character, but at first Sally Field really threw me off because I thought I was seeing Sally Field and not Aunt May. And so when I first saw Sally Field, I was like going, oh, look, it's Sally Field. And I just could not see her as Aunt May. But toward the end, I thought, okay, I guess I can kind of see her as Aunt May now. I really like the other character the other lady that played the Aunt May so well that seeing somebody else play it just seemed like it wasn't the right person. You know what I mean? I mean, I know I have to because you're going to get a different crowd of people and, you know, give somebody else a chance to take their own, have their own take on the same role. But I just, Aunt May as Sally Field, or Sally Field as Aunt May, actually, I was like, it really took me a while to finally get into that character, to go, yeah, I can see it now. I can see it. It just took me a little while. I don't know. Other than that, I really liked the movie. I think it was a very strong take, and I don't think it's better or worse than the last one. I just think it's just new and it's different, and I like that. So, okay. That was me.
Okay, Mr. Denny.
Okay, so I'm enjoying it.
He hasn't finished it.
Yeah.
Keeps on getting interrupted.
Yeah.
I like the characters, except for one little nitpick that I have is that they didn't make Peter Parker dorky enough, in my point of view.
Or nerdy enough, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he isn't that dorky and nerdy.
He's more of a
he doesn't wear glasses.
He's kind of a techie guy.
He doesn't seem frail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to compare it. You have to compare it to the other one because it's still so fresh in my mind.
Yeah,
granted, it came out 12 years ago.
Yeah, but it was only 5 years ago when Spider-Man 3 came out. So
I don't know. True. But you're comparing the origin ones.
Right, origin, right?
Right. So I mean, as far as that, I mean, I think the original one did that a little bit better, but the characters in this one I find to be a little more suitable. Except for Sally Field, I think is good, but I think that the other Aunt May is a little bit better. She seems more of a Aunt May-ish type character. Yeah,
she has the gray hair, which in everything that I've ever seen of Aunt May. She had that type of hair where she looked old.
Yeah.
And
right.
Sally Field does not look that. She, I mean, you did see the gray in her hair, and it did make sense. But it was a dark-haired Aunt May, which I thought just didn't work for me.
Yeah, this is one of the few times where it's like, Sally Field, you were just not old enough.
You're just not old enough. Yeah, you looked a little young, and she looked a little hip.
Yeah.
She looked
Other thing that I've had a problem with so far is that the lizard character, when you see the lizard as the lizard, mm-hmm. he looks just like Killer Croc from the Batman comic books.
Right, yeah, he does, yeah.
And that to me is so, I mean, it doesn't throw me off. Obviously, I know I'm watching a Spider-Man movie and I know that's a lizard, but I'm surprised that DC hasn't said something.
Right.
Yet, because it looks like they took a picture of Killer Croc from the comic books and made him into a Marvel character as a lizard.
Yeah. I will admit, though, that I was always confused. Like, whenever I would see Killer Croc and the lizard, it would always be like, they're both wearing lab coats at one point or another. What's different?
See, the lizard was a scientist.
Right.
The Killer Croc is just a maniac.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was getting mixed up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Sorry. I have no idea what just happened, but I definitely got it mixed up with the crocodile in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Or Baxter Stockman.
Yeah. Fly. Yes.
Baxter. the chemistry between Emma Stone and Andrew Garfield is pretty good. They're dating in real life or something, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it comes off as genuine because it is genuine.
The chemistry between them was great. Yeah.
Right. And I like the fact that his real web or not real web spinners. He created the web spinners.
Yes.
It sort of takes you away from, well, he just became a spider in a human body. No, he's a smart person who has some attributes of a spider. I had something that I was going to say, and now I can't remember exactly what it was. As far as comparing it to the comic books, they're totally ignoring the fact that even though Mary Jane is not the love interest in this movie, she still lived next to Peter Parker.
Right, they coexisted.
Right, just universe. Because she's not the main love interest doesn't mean she can't be in the movie.
Right, but that would
But, I mean, it's the way it is. I mean, you're in high school. There's only, obviously, there's more than one girl in high school. Right. And if they just had her as Flash Thompson's redheaded girlfriend, it would have been like, oh, okay.
Which in the comics, they were dating. Like, it was Flash Thompson and Mary Jane were dating for, like, a while.
Right. Was, like, I mean, they're in high school. So it makes sense that character would be there. And it seems weird as someone who's read the comic books that they have just totally left her out.
Yeah. I
got that feeling, too. I thought, well, I that's why I thought, well, maybe this is just a different universe, is because Mary Jane's not there at all. And so that's why I thought, well, I guess that, you know, there's more about his family in this one as there was in the other one where it was like, oh, you know, he lived with his parents. His parents died, but, like, he lived with his uncle and his aunt. And, you know, it just seemed like, oh, okay, they put more into the fact that his parents were actually, like, maybe killed because of whatever it was that they were doing. And so that kind of added that thread into the plot where, okay, now enters the son who finds out what it was that his parents were killed over or something like that. I mean, I don't believe that was even in the first movie, the movies before this. So that's why I thought, oh, well, maybe this is just it's not a reboot. It's just a story in a different universe. That's what I was thinking. Right. But yeah,
you could think of it that way. Yeah.
Just one quick thing. I like that they had, I mean, by the time I was old enough to read the comic books, I was, you know, they had been having Spider-Man comics for 25, 30 years. So they had gotten away from, you know, at this point it was just stories where he was fighting characters and blah, 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 blah. He had already grown up in the comic books by the time we were reading them.
Right.
So it's interesting to see how he interacts with a police officer who's trying to catch him, and, like, why, you know, he understands why the cops don't like him, so he, like, makes an effort to make himself more human to the people that he's saving, as opposed to just a weird guy in a mask. As evidenced by when he's saving the kid from the van off the side of the bridge. You know, it's like, I'm just a person, you know, I'm just here to help you, that's all.
Right.
And it was like, okay, now, when, you know, they're going to go and be like, oh, I was saved by Spider-Man, help me, and as opposed to, oh, as a maniac, just grab my kid.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked how he seemed to try to be more human in this rather than, oh, I'm the Spider-Man. And everybody was like, oh, and all about the Spider-Man. I was like, no, actually, for that little kid, it was kind of scary. There's this guy with this freaking mask on, and I'm scared, and I'm not going to go to him. And then when he made himself more, he's like, no, hey, it's me. I'm a real person. And, you know, that made complete and total sense to me. And that, I think it was very, very successful. Yeah.
Definitely. Pete?
So.
I really liked the movie. I understand, like, all the things that you guys were saying. I think Sony and Marvel made a conscientious effort to distance itself from the previous films. Even though some of the plot points were about the same, like, you know, oh, I became a spider, I got bit by a spider, Uncle Ben dies, and things like that. But I think it did a really good job of trying to, like, update the movie Sam Raimi's version was more like what we were saying before. It's more like a classic, like, oh, he became a wrestler, and then his uncle got shot because he was a wrestler, and he didn't save the guy from running away and stealing the money. And then in this one, it was more like, I couldn't afford a milk jug. And the guy, it turns out that the guy, you know, ran and he shot Uncle Ben, you know, accidentally or, you know, on purpose or whatever.
And, but even, I mean, even still, the wrestler story was taken directly from the comic book.
Right, right. That's what I mean is, like, they, I always thought that to be, like, for, like, the classic, you know, Silver Age type comic, it was cool. But I think the way they did it here was it was handled well. I don't think that was a big issue that they didn't make him a wrestler at all. Although they did kind of like play into it, you know, that he fell into an old ring and things like that.
I know,
that.
I thought that that was kind of like them kind of giving a little bit of homage to the first one, actually.
Yeah, it's like an homage to
I mean,
like,
where you're
classic.
Saying they're trying to distance themselves, I thought, well, I think they kind of did a good job kind of homaging. They're not like oh, we're not trying to say that we're better than the first movie, but we are. It's there, and so because of that, you know, we want to endear a few things in our movie to that. Because I thought, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I you know, that's the kind of vibe that I got from it. It's like, oh, we're kind of calling back to this movie that we're, you know, kind of branching off from. So
I think they, yeah, I think they set. Maybe I meant like differently, distancing themselves. They definitely set out to make a different film. I mean, it's definitely a darker film in tone and the way it was shot. And it was less like the humor was sort of there, but there was definitely a lot less like slapstick humor, less like a lot less physical humor. Even like the villain itself was not the dude in a green suit with like this gigantic clown mask face. And, it was definitely, I really, like, I agree that, that the two of them, Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, their chemistry was great. I think they did, I think it was cast well. The two of them, played off each other really well. I think Martin Sheen played it actually a pretty good Uncle Ben. I think he did. I think he, you know, he played a different Uncle Ben from the other guy, but he was definitely, I think he was definitely a better Uncle Ben fit than Sally Field was in Aunt May fit.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
that was, I was just going to say, both he and, you know, Sally Field being in that role, I saw them only as those people first. They had to, as they acted, and they did well, they did good job. It was just like, I liked the other pair because to me, they seemed to be closer to who Uncle Ben and Aunt May were. And so this one, they just seemed to be so not the couple that I expected to see.
Yeah.
And I wasn't like going out of my way to find out like, oh, all the stuff about Spider-Man. I went in there knowing practically nothing other than the fact that there's a Spider-Man and there's a girlfriend and they're like in real life, girlfriend and boyfriend. And that was it. That's
that
all
I
knew
know.
About this.
I didn't even know.
Do you think that maybe you feel that way because the actors that portrayed Aunt May and Uncle Ben in the first movie were less well known?
The lady that played Aunt May, I think, actually has been in several other stuff. So
yeah,
I mean,
Uncle Ben was Cliff Robertson. And he had been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, but they were not, like, you know, mainstream names right now, right?
Yeah. I think part of it comes from that, for one. And for two, part of it comes from back when I was a kid and I watched, like, the animated show Spider-Man on TV. I did a little bit, not a lot, enough to know just some key points about Spider-Man. I remember there being an Aunt May who was just, she looked old and she had the bun hair and it was, you know, it was silverish. It wasn't like, you know, she was old, you know, lady, but she just had, and that portrayed perfectly to me who Aunt May was, is the way that, you know, in my mind, in my kid mind, that's what Aunt May was. And so to see right. Aunt May without that, you know, if Sally Field had, you know, looked, if they had aged her and they gave her, you know, hair that was gray, and I don't know, maybe I would have been, oh, yeah, that's perfect, that's her. But I didn't. I saw Sally Field and Charlie Sheen. I didn't see what I saw before. And so for me, I had a hard time. I mean, I did accept them as the people, as they acted, and I got into their characters because they were, you know, it's not that they didn't do a very good job doing their role or acting their part out. I think it was just in my mind, this is what I expected from Uncle Ben and Aunt May, and when I didn't see that, it threw me out of the story for a while, right, until I was able to get into it.
On the other side of that, I mean, obviously Aunt May has this stylized view of what she is and what she's supposed to be from all the years of comic books and all the cartoons and all the other movies that we've seen her in. But growing up, it never made a whole lot of sense to me as to why his aunt and uncle were so much older than what his parents would have been.
Right. Yeah.
Seemed so much older than what his parents would have been.
Yeah, weren't they grandma and grandpa?
Right. It almost seemed like it was like Grandma May or like Great Aunt May.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It never made sense to me. And even when they did the Ultimate Spider-Man and the Aunt May was like,
she's still old. Yeah.
Hip and cool. She still had gray hair and looked old.
Yeah, I think what they did was that kind of plays back to updating this movie, you know, to be like more modern, was that his parents were not very old and he was so young, so they kind of like,
that's not even modern or something, it's just saying, but hey, this doesn't make any sense.
Right, well, they tried to update him a little
bit. 60 years old and his parents would have been 30.
Yeah, right. Well, they were trying to they're trying to update everything in this movie, including Aunt May and Uncle Ben.
Right.
They're not as old. They're a little bit more hip. They're a bit more funny. Like, you know, they're more like, they kind of goof off a little bit more. Like the one line where it was like, why is he always use that skateboard? It's like, because he's young and stupid. Remember when we used to be like that? Right. And they kind of like, they did the meatloaf joke, and, you know, it's just like that kind of stuff, you know. In the previous film, you know, they were so harmonious, they were together for so long, and you know, they never had any kind of bickering, just for like playful bickering, right?
Yeah, this was playful, and I liked that because it really humanized them pretty quick, and that was the stuff that actually made me go, okay, I guess I do like these guys. I like where they're going with the characters, like what they're doing, and that helped pull me back in to them as characters and go, okay, well, this is just a new take and I need to for those, you know. And maybe that's the reason why they did it, is because they wanted to do that, is they wanted to help people kind of get pulled in rather than, oh, I'm not getting the vibe here. What's going on?
Yeah. And it's the same as that they updated him from being, you know, nerd to a dork or a geek, right?
Techie. He just came across to me as a techie.
Right.
You know,
so
he's
yeah,
smart. He doesn't necessarily have glasses. You know, he's that guy that just kind of tries to save a little radar, but he's not that dorky.
Yeah, like his spider powers didn't make him change his eye lenses or anything. You know, he kept needing to wear glasses, things like that.
See, now I kind of liked better what they did with the first movie, how he, in that regard, that there was a distinct change. Because for me, he gets bit, and on the subway ride home, it takes him like that to kind of come into this switch and to kind of freak out about it. I like the fact when it was like he came home sick, feeling crap, he went to sleep, he woke up in the morning with all these spider powers and freaking out and all that. And they still did the morning when he freaked out, but it was like, okay, so an hour ride home on the subway constitutes you're able to change that quickly? I mean, this is genetics we're talking about. Would it really be that quick?
Well, that was the only thing where I thought the other movie did better.
Yeah, it just.
I know. I mean, I think they did pretty well. Was that he didn't really fully adapt yet to those powers?
True.
And I thought it was really funny. Like in the morning when he went, you know, woke up in the morning and he tried to like brush his teeth, and then he broke everything in the bathroom. I think that was a way to illustrate that he completely changed. You know, his whole you know, he started being more aware of noises and things like that.
So. Well, and they did that on the subway too. He grabbed onto a pole and it came off with his hands. I mean, right. There were.
Yeah, but he didn't do that. He didn't do that on purpose, obviously.
But he didn't do the whole bathroom thing on purpose either.
Right.
He's like, break, get me out of this room, you know.
Yeah, I think it definitely. I think they're definitely. I think they made a conscientious effort to be a different movie than the original Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they're shot differently. I mean, they're both good movies in their own right. The only part of this movie that I didn't really like was the end where all the construction workers lined up everything for him, and it was really cheesy. I threw up in my mouth every time I've seen that part. I mean,
but it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it was definitely a different portrayal of George Stacy on Dennis Leary's part, but I think he did a good job being George Stacy. Like, I mean, he was essentially a toned down version of himself, just being like the guy.
Like the other guy.
Like, by the time we read comics, George Stacy had been long dead in the comic books. But apparently, I didn't know this, that he. And her portrayal of himself in the comics was a complete opposite of what it was in the movies.
He's a complete opposite. Yeah, exactly. That's why I meant, like,
he's
different.
He's totally for Spider-Man. He understands what he's trying to do. He wants to support him. Yeah. And then the Gwen Stacy character is the total opposite, where it's like, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He gets somebody killed, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's funny to see how they change that around.
Yeah. He was definitely an advocate for both Spider-Man and Peter Parker before he found out that they were two one and the same people.
Right.
So that was definitely different in this one. George Stacy, doesn't really like Peter Parker to begin with at all. And then,
well, of course, he's trying to date his daughter.
That's true.
What father likes that guy?
That's true.
It's like you better behave yourself, because you're not going to do what I think you're going to do with my dear daughter. I know what it's like, because I was a boy once, too. You know? It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad they didn't use that line, though. It's like, I used to be your age.
Now, they said it enough with Aunt May and Uncle Ben. Well, you remember when we were young and stupid?
Right, exactly. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they definitely did that. I think that was really good. But, all right, so... John, you have some homework to finish, but
I'll take care of that.
Based on where you are, I don't think you're really going to get any surprises. You know, essentially, you've already hit the climax of the movie. It's going downhill. Everything needs to be resolved at that point.
I'm probably going to go and see it in the theaters.
It's definitely something you should see in the theaters.
Go see Spider-Man and then Batman afterwards.
Nice.
Cool. Get your comic book movies on, right?
I would suggest if you wouldn't. But for anyone out there who hasn't seen it yet, please don't. I don't know what happened, but the version I saw it in IMAX 3D. It was a screener. I didn't pay for it. I have
of Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's IMAX 3D. The sound was great, just like IMAX. But for some reason, I think it was like sort of shot in 3D at one point or another, somehow, somewhere. But near the tail end of the movie, things got weird, like with the screen. It got all like it felt like they were like.
You're watching Moonrise Kingdom.
What's that?
Were you watching Moonrise Kingdom?
Yeah. No, the screen itself.
This isn't Spider-Man at all.
Yeah. Why is there a Boy Scout in this? What's going on? It was weird. It felt like there were just prisms in the film, and it was really weird. So if you could possibly...
It was filmed in 3D. I heard an interview with Mark Webb.
Yeah, which what I didn't know until afterwards, which even threw me off more, because... It just looked weird at the end. It was like, it felt like it was very like prism-like, and it was just like very, it felt really bizarre. I'm not really sure how to describe it, but it just didn't look right.
Right.
That might have been the theater I went to. I'm not sure. But, yeah.
This is why I just decided, after Transformers Dark of the Moon, that I was not going to go see any more 3D movies unless they were specifically shot in 3D. Just because I've seen a couple since then where I did it in 3D. I thought, if it's not actually shot in 3D, I think sometimes they're just, you know, making it more for the fact that it's, you know, they can charge more. So I'm like, if it's really great and everybody's raving about how awesome the 3D is, I will go see it. But if not, I'm just going to go see everything in 2D now on.
You're making a great choice, because even when it was shot, even if it's shot in 3D, like Avatar is shot in 3D, it didn't add anything to the movie.
Well, and I find that those that actually say that, you know, oh, it's in 3D, and then you find out that it's actually just looks, they really hardly used it to its maximum benefit. So I'm like, why should I pay more for that when I'm going to wear these geeky glasses that actually, you know, I have a hard time even seeing through them. I mean, I can bring up all of the problems that everybody's already said about 3D. I mean, yes, I endure it because I want to see a good show, but like, you know, they usually fit on my face weird, and for some reason, like, my contacts, because I wear glasses, and when I look through the lens, there's, like, this really strange foggy blare effect.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When my eyes go through that, I do have that every once in a while. My contacts do that when I've had them in for way too long, and then I can't wear them for very long. It gets really annoying. It's like I'm wearing cotton, you know, over my eyes. And so when I'm in a movie and it starts doing that, I can't watch it because I need to go take my contacts out or whatever. I just have to soldier through and go, no, I'm going to watch the show. Yeah. And if they're not actually going to use the 3D effect to its full benefit, then I'm just not going to do it anymore because it's just too much of a hassle and it's too annoying and it does interrupt my ability to enjoy the movie when that happens. So, not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, the way I look at it is there's a reason why I wear contacts, because I hate glasses, to wear glasses in a long period of time. Why would I spend $15 just to wear a pair of glasses for 2.5 hours?
Exactly. Especially to watch a movie inside. Yeah. I mean,
it's like, I'm
like sunglasses. It's like, I like sunglasses, but there's a reason why I like sunglasses. It's because it's bright out.
Right.
And that's a good motivation to wear sunglasses. Right. But wearing glasses to watch a movie just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So.
Okay, well, that is I guess that's a good place to wrap episode 30.459.
You're making it sound all Star Trek-ish.
Yeah, John likes to screw with me.
Captain's log.
Yeah, Captain's log. Episode 30. But that is that's a good place to wrap episode 30. So for me, Peter Van, and John and Amy. We actually have a Facebook page now.
So, yes, we do.
I love that.
Yeah. So if you would like to like us on Facebook, go to facebook.com/screenviewshow, all in one word, as well as Twitter, which is also screenviewshow. So yeah, definitely give us get on that Facebook, that old Facebook, and give us a shout out and let us know what you think of The Amazing Spider-Man or any of the Comic-Con trailers that we've discussed. So, all right. Well, we will see you next time.
All righty.
You've been listening to Screen View. Screen View is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network.